Living Theology Friends, Letter 1113 by Leon Combs. This is for March the 27th, 2011. The Church, 12. Sinners or Saints? Every person born in the world came into it as a sinner. Note below that the great Apostle Paul included himself among those who were sinners. Ephesians 2:1-3. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Ephesians 2:1 says that Christians were dead in their trespasses and sins. That means sinners were spiritually dead, and dead people cannot do anything in that realm in which they are dead. God does not even hear the prayers of a sinner. John 9:31, we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears him. Jesus also is separated from sinners. Hebrews 7:26, for it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. When Jesus said that we must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven, he meant that we must be spiritually born. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When a person is spiritually born, or regenerated, and is now in Christ, he still has a severe problem of a sin nature that must be removed. When we speak of ourselves as being saved, we mean that we are saved from the wrath of God. John 3:36, who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And Romans 5:9, much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him, Jesus, of course. Everyone who does not believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God lives under the wrath of God, and that wrath is horrible to contemplate. There is a big word, propitiation, which is important, for it means turning away the wrath of judgment. The life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ is that propitiation, since Jesus took the wrath of God that was due sinners. He took that judgmental wrath of God for all the sins of every Christian. By his grace, God rescues sinners, Ephesians 2:4-5. But God, being rich in mercy because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. That grace of God saved us from eternal judgment, and we did absolutely nothing to deserve it, Ephesians 2:8-9. Every Christian is then no longer a sinner, defined as someone who practices sin, but is a saint, one who has the righteousness of the Son of God in his account before God. The act of placing our sins on Jesus and his righteousness being put into our heavenly accounts is called justification, or instantaneous sanctification, or double imputation. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Romans 3:26, and Romans 4:25. God gives a Christian faith, Romans 12:3, which results in believing, trusting, and obeying him. This faith is not something generated by people, but actually comes from Jesus, who also perfects it as a Christian matures, Hebrews 12:2. So now a Christian is a person who has been born spiritually, has all of his sins placed into the account of Jesus, who then took that wrath of God for those sins, and has the righteousness of Jesus Christ in his account before God. Christians can then freely come before God's throne of grace to pray to the Father with no fear of his wrath. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. For these people, the Christians, are now his children, John 1:12, and nobody else is a child of God. After this cleansing process, the Christian enters a long, difficult walk in the world as his old sin nature dies and is replaced with the righteous acts of Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. This walk is called progressive sanctification. This time is challenging, and during it, Christians do sin. But when they realize that they sin, they will repent and continue to grow toward that Christ-like state. A Christian cannot continue to practice sin, be a sinner, and is a saint before God. The final state of the Christian occurs after death, at a time when God will glorify his body, and then he will be like Jesus. 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. So salvation consists of three phases or stages: justification or instantaneous sanctification, progressive sanctification, and glorification. But always remember that a Christian is not a sinner, not someone who practices sin. This born-again person is already a saint while walking in the world, being sanctified. Paul did not write to the sinners at Ephesus, Philippi, and Colossae, but to the saints at those places, Ephesians 1:1, Philippians 1:1, and Colossians 1:2. A sinner is one who practices sin, continually and habitually sins with no repentance. And that is what John means when he states in verse 9 that he cannot sin. So born-again children of God are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:9. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. All their sins were placed into the account of Jesus, who suffered the wrath of God for those sins, and the righteousness of Jesus is placed into their account so that they are saints. Although Christians do still sin, each transgression is quickly followed by repentance and determination to not do it again. Some people want to classify Christians as those who are just and sinners, but such is not biblical. John clearly delineated those who practice sin and those who practice righteousness, 1 John 3, verses 8 through 10. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because the seed abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. If Christians think that they are still sinners, then they may excuse their sin by saying, "Oh, I am just a sinner and cannot help myself." If a person cannot stop sinning, John says that they are still of the devil. Christians are indwelt by the Holy Spirit and can stop sinning, although perfection here will never be achieved. The church will be presented pure to the Lord one day, Ephesians 5, verse 27. Every person in the world is either a sinner or a saint. Which are you? I gave a diagram in my paper that I obviously can't say here, but I hope that you'll see the diagram and that it'll help in this study. May God bless each of you. In Jesus' name, amen.